in every good work and word. I have just three other points for us to consider. And you don't have to pray just these bullet points. You can pray many, many other things, but these are just a starting point, of course. Let's pray and rejoice for the Lord's work so that these brothers and sisters will be comforted by God and Christ himself. Let's pray for them to be comforted by God and Christ himself. That's what it says in 16. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts. It is emphatic in this passage, the himself. It carries the intimacy here. It is Paul saying what something that only a person who has experienced the Holy Spirit can know and understand truly. God is able to speak directly to your heart, to your soul. He's able to minister to you his presence no matter what you're going through. It's part of our ground, in fact, for praying for the supernatural presence of God, which with each of these that we lift up by name today, whether they find themselves in jail, whether they are in exile, whether they're separated from their families, whether they've lost loved ones, or whether they're living in fear. To pray for them to be comforted by God and by Christ himself. And then let's also pray that the Lord would help them to be established in good works and in good words. These last two kind of go together. 17, may he comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. What Paul is asking for these Thessalonians is that they would have a supernatural power to do good and impact their community, even as they are maligned. In other words, a little bit like we've read in Peter, of blessing those who insult us. Let's hear a bit about our sister, Dapma, in India. Dapma and her husband, Vincenter, had heard warnings about Fulani Islamic militants terrorizing the area where Vincenter pastored a church in Nigeria. In June of 2018, Vincenter felt obligated to make his regular weekend trip to the church. That afternoon, Dapma called Vincenter to check on him. When he answered, she could tell he was running. "I'll call you later," he told her breathlessly. "Fulani herdsmen are chasing us." Before Vincenter turned the phone off, Dapma heard gunshots in the background. She says, "I doubted very much that he would make it. Gunshots were all I heard." Dapma said that although she wasn't prepared for her husband's death, she felt God's grace in that moment. When the news came, the grace was there as well, she said. "It was a grace that sustained me." Dapma and her four children grieve, but they continue to walk in faith today. Dapma says that she is not angry at God for allowing her husband to die for his faith and for his church. "The way he died encourages me because I know who he was," she said. "I think the only thing I feel is his absence." Today, Dapma harbors no ill will toward the man who killed her husband. Instead, she prays for him, and she prays that one day he will even come to Christ and take her husband's place in ministry. Mina always felt a deep sadness when the Islamic call to prayer filled the air. Growing up as a Christian in Indonesia, the world's most populous Muslim country, her heart ached for those who didn't know Jesus Christ. And one day in 2010, she felt compelled to do something about this. She decided to love and share the gospel with her Muslim neighbors. One of the first women she approached in the streets of Makassar cried as Mina shared her testimony. Mina, who was still a teenager at the time, held out her hand and asked the woman if she could pray for her. After praying, she invited the woman to come to Bible study. The woman not only agreed, but she showed up and brought six other women to study the Bible with her. Mina says, "We would sing and I would read the Bible." Mina is now 27. She says, "I told my pastor, I think this is what the Lord wants me to do." Mina and other evangelists drive around the city together, praying that God will lead them to those with whom they should share the gospel. She said God often leads them to mosques where they wait patiently outside for the Holy Spirit's prompting. Even when it's not prayer time, people are usually sitting outside the mosques, resting and talking. In March of 2018, as Mina was working with a new partner, she approached a woman outside a mosque to share the gospel. As she talked with the woman, others nearby started listening to her message. Suddenly, a man with a long beard struck her on the back so hard that she nearly fell into a nearby sewer. The man wanted to know my identity and asked for my ID card. He accused me of trying to brainwash the people. Eventually, Mina asked if she could speak. She sat down, reached out, and calmly took the man's hand. After the man also sat down, she began to share her faith. Although he continued to yell judgments at her, he listened to what she was saying, and they later agreed to exchange phone numbers. In the end, the man couldn't contain his anger and threatened to post video on social media of her sharing the gospel with Muslims. "Don't come back here," he said. If I see you somewhere else, you will have a big problem." Mina thanked the man for his time and promised to follow up with a text message. She then called a taxi, got in the car, and started crying. Amazed that she hadn't run away when things got heated, she suddenly had a deeper appreciation of Matthew 10, Jesus' assurance that the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say when we are brought before authorities to bear witness for him. Pray for Mina's protection and her courage and strength in the Spirit. For years, Patty and Jaime had their hearts set on serving as missionaries in Turkey. But after a mission trip to an indigenous community in Mexico, Patty began to sense the Holy Spirit nudging her in a different direction. The couple arrived at their rough wooden home about 200 miles from Acapulco in 2012. Jaime made plans to set up a shop and teach carpentry skills to the local men. Like most in the area, they had no running water, so they walked to a nearby river each day to collect water for bathing, washing, and drinking. For 2 years, Patty and Jaime worked hard to become part of the community. Jaime joined the other men in backbreaking agricultural work, breaking up the dirt with a hoe, planting seeds, and carrying water. Since the village shared a communal oven, Patty spent many hours with the other women, grinding corn and baking tortillas, even though she had a bad back. "We sacrificed our health to be there," Patty said. "Those first 2 years were really hard." Gradually, some of the people began to soften toward them. They were delighted that Patty and Jaime had taken the time to learn their language. They were pleased that they ate exactly what they ate, including wild grasses and insects, which other Mexicans disdained. Slowly, Patty and Jaime had more and more opportunities to share the gospel, but soon they were also being noticed. In 2017, a few villagers tried to persuade their neighbors that Patty and Jaime should be killed or at least expelled, but the town elders, who had grown to respect the couple, defused the situation. And from then on, when anyone bothered them, others from the community came to their defense. In January of 2019, Jaime left to deliver a custom door to a home in another village, but he never arrived. When they found Jaime's body, there was evidence that he had been attacked. Jaime's death left an enormous void in Patty's life. "I'm so sad that Jaime is not here," she said, "but he would always tell me, 'Don't worry, little one, God is with us.'" Patty has been facilitating a school for young children. She continues to do good, and she is pursuing an online degree in education so she can teach the older children. Patty asks for prayer that God will establish a church in the village and that she will remain emotionally and physically healthy. She is intent on following God's will for her life and completing the work that she and Jaime began almost 10 years ago. Byung Woo is from North Korea. He first read a Bible when visiting relatives in China. They were part of the underground church movement there. They encouraged him to take Bibles back to North Korea. Byung Woo grew increasingly fearful as he considered their idea. Possessing a Bible, let alone several of them, is extremely dangerous in North Korea. Being caught with even a few pages of scripture could result in detention in a concentration camp, so North Korean Christians often memorize passages of God's word. Overcome by fear, Byung Woo left the Bibles behind and returned to North Korea. There, he told his wife about the Bible he had read in China and how it had moved him. To his surprise, she said she also wanted to read the Bible. Out of love for his wife and a desire for her to learn about Jesus like he had, Byung Woo decided to return to China, get a Bible, and then risk his life smuggling it back into North Korea. When he arrived back in China, his relatives joyfully gave him a Bible and some money from church members. He then returned to North Korea and gathered some relatives to tell them about the Jesus that he had come to know through scriptures. Byung Woo's relatives wanted to hear more. They took turns reading the Bible, and even though they didn't always understand the dialect, they said its words brought them peace. Inspired by his family's reaction to the Bible, Byung Woo committed his life to the Lord and carefully began to share the gospel with other North Koreans. Pray for his witness and his faith and his protection.